This past year, Pope Francis called an extraordinary synod of bishops to focus on the topic of the family, the importance of the family, and the many attacks that there are in the family across the world these days. And so they produced a document out of that, a report after the discussion. And one thing that they highlighted was that, you know, worldwide there was still recognizing that the family is an important institution, that we need to do things to protect and promote the family. And so this whole year, the Pope and the bishops and the leadership in the church is focusing on the family, and there's going to be another synod in October to address and tackle the challenges of the family so the church can better serve the family. It's so important. In the Catholic Church, we refer to the family as the domestic church. So it's kind of like the first church, the first community of God. Now, today, we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Family. The first Sunday after Christmas, we always celebrate the Feast of the Holy Family. And what is the Holy Family supposed to be for us? Is it a family in which we admire? Or is it supposed to be a family that we imitate, model? That's the question. Well, often it becomes a family that we admire because it appears that they are so far others, so far above, that the only thing we can do is admire. They can't be imitated. The holiness is so great. But this feast is established today not for the Holy Family to be admired, but to be modeled and imitated. Okay, so that's where we got to start off with first, to be modeled. And a lot of the time, the reason that people just more admire the Holy Family, oh, it's so wonderful, Jesus and Mary and Joseph, you know, all warm and tidy and, you know, in the creche and, you know, the Christmas trees, it makes me, you know, such a joyful spirit, so clean and so sanitized, right? Part of the reason that we look at it, the Holy Family in their lives as something to be admired and not modeled, is that we've kind of put them behind a glass. We put them in a plastic bubble, you might say, and there's like something totally other. Everything's perfect. But if we really go in deep, we look in the scriptures, we look in our tradition regarding the life of the Holy Family, we don't find really this beautiful image of perfection and wonderfulness and order. In fact, what we find is really a model of disorder. I didn't get struck. Okay. The Holy Family, a model of disorder, and so a model for us. What do I mean? Okay, so Mary's 13 or 14 years old. She's betrothed. She's engaged to Joseph. And how does it all start off with? She's found with child. She's pregnant. Okay, that's not a good start. That doesn't appear to be a good start. Okay, that's not the way things were supposed to roll out. And it's severe because according to the prescriptions of the law, she could be stoned, right? That's not a nice picture. And then how is Joseph going to resolve this situation, this challenge, this contention? He's going to divorce her quietly. That doesn't sound like a pleasant arrangement, right? Okay, and so they get some things worked out, you know, an angel intervenes, and so it's all just wonderful bliss from there, the perfect family, right? We can paint the model. No, they become refugees, right? They have to flee from their country. And where's Jesus born at? He's born in a feed trough, in an animal trough, right? Because not even in a house. The only other person that was born in a barn, according to my dad, was me. He said that many times, and it wasn't because I was a savior. So, and then you continue on with their lives, and all of the challenge and the disorder that was a part of it. You know, at 12 years old, they went to the temple and they lost the child, the Savior of the world, right? Mary's confused and frustrated. What's going on here? So what I want to hold up the Holy Family today, not as something to be admired, but something to be modeled. That's what the church is inviting us to, because all of our families are models of disorder. Every single one of our families. And so what I'd like to do, first of all, I looked up the word disorder on the internet. All right? And disorder is a state of confusion. Well, the Holy Family certainly have a state of confusion. It is a disruption of a neat arrangement. When we put the Holy Family in a bubble and something to be admired, we're making them a neat arrangement. That wasn't the case. So what I'd like to do is just take a little bit of audience participation here. What are some of the ways that we experience disorder in our families? These could be caused by sin or not caused by sin. Some of our experiences. I can help get started if you want, but yeah. Okay, sickness in a family. And we all know, too, not just like light sickness. We're supposed to have a baptism today. The whole family got the flu, so we had to cancel it. You know, that's a type of sickness that puts disorder. But sickness in like cancers, right? Life-ending illnesses, sicknesses. And, you know, especially when one, maybe a parent and they're young. Boy, you talk about disorder. And that's kind of a, you know, we might say in natural causes. That wasn't caused from someone's particular sin. What's another way that disorder is introduced into the family, in our own families? Loss of job, financial instability. And in fact, when the bishops gathered in their report after the extraordinary synod, one of them said the biggest challenges of the family is financial, in the sense of not parents not able to find stable work. And so that makes it very difficult to live out family life. What are some of the things you don't really want to say, but you know you're thinking them right now? That introduce disorder into the family.
Everybody headed in a different direction.
Okay, everybody's heading in a different direction. So you're meaning like they're spread out all over?
Well, there's little family time together.
Little family time. So there's a lot of demands on the family that make it difficult. So that introduces disorders. You know, Angie's going to this ball game. Ted's going to, I'm just making up names. Ted's going to work, you know. Mom's going this direction. What other things? Painful things that are introduced that disorder. Addictions. Okay, now we're getting into the good stuff. Okay. Addictions. And probably most of us have some connection to someone who is struggling with a type of addiction in our families. I mean, it's all over the place, and there's all kinds of addictions. And think about the disorder that that brings into family life, right? Oh, there's many more. Yes. What's that? Fighting, all right. Sibling rivalry, right? Contentions in families. We're just coming off of spending a lot of time with families. Maybe we experienced some of that, right? Nobody's saying the D word. Divorce. You know, over half marriages end up in divorce. So all of us, to one degree or another, have been affected by a divorce. Is that a painful situation? Does that introduce disorder into a family life? Well, that was another item or topic that the bishops identified in their document after the synod. How do we deal with that? Right? And how the children are often victims in these situations. Okay, so we could keep going on. But the idea is here, what I'm trying to communicate is that every single one of our families is affected by disorder. Disorder has been introduced through all of these different avenues, right? If you think your family has not been affected or touched by something causing disorder, come talk to me after Mass and I will show you the way, okay? I will tell you, communicate. None of us are separate or distant from it. And the Holy Family is a model of disorder. Okay, their lives are a model of disorder. But disorder does not have to lead to dysfunction. Okay. Dysfunction, according to the World Wide Web, is an impairment in the function of a system, and it is regarded as bad. Okay? Disorder is neutral. It doesn't have to be bad or good. Dysfunction is when disorder becomes bad and leads to destruction. But it doesn't have to be that way. And we've all experienced the situations where disorder has turned into dysfunction, right? And destruction. But what the Holy Family models for us is a way in which disorder leads to holiness. Because we call the Holy Family the Holy Family, right? So the disorder became their way to sanctity, the way that they were joined closely to God. And how was that? Why was that? Because disorder pushes us, creates in our hearts the right openness, the right disposition, the right receptiveness to receive God's grace. And this is where I want to kind of connect us back with Christmas Mass. If you were here, I spoke about how St. John Paul II invited us and challenged us in these times to start afresh from Christ, starting afresh from Christ. So that's where it's got to begin. We are all in situations of disorder. We have to accept it and embrace it, not deny it and reject it. Accept it and recognize it. Start there. And so the Holy Family, their eyes are on what? Are on Christ. So starting afresh from Christ with a willingness, and this is where I'm tying in from Christmas, with a willingness to what? To be led. So a willingness to be led in the midst of our disorder, in the midst of our struggles. And so think about how many times throughout the Gospels we hear about Joseph and Mary being led, right? The Holy Spirit's leading. They're having to be led out of Nazareth. They're constantly being led. The people of God from the beginning of time, they're constantly being led by God. Okay, the second element, all right, to move from disorder to holiness and not dysfunction is starting fresh from Christ with a willingness to be, do you remember from Christmas? Surprised! All right, man, sweet. I never had, she thought my homilies were listened to. Okay. So a willingness to be surprised. So think about how many times Mary, you know, just the announcement of the good news to her when the angel Gabriel come, was it a surprise? Yes. Was she confused, which is part of the definition of disorder? Yes, she was confused. How can this be? I don't know, man, right? So a willingness to be surprised. And the antithesis of this is the Pharisees and scribes who had squeezed any possibility of surprise out of their lives. Not possible anymore, right? And that's what we want to do in the world. We want to reduce any chances for surprise. So then we're surprised by nothing. We have everything figured out and we know exactly how it's going to run. But that works contrary to God's ways and to from moving from disorder to holiness. The third disposition of the heart, start afresh with Christ with the willingness to be surprised, changed, exactly. So think about how many times the Holy Family and how many of those people that encountered Jesus had to change. And think about the scribes and Pharisees who were never willing to change. And you know what? Change is not easy. In fact, in our diocese, if a young man wants to go to the seminary, it's very difficult for someone over 30 years old, a man who's over 30 years old, to be accepted into the seminary and here in Wichita. And for religious orders, over 40 years old. And why is that? Because it's so difficult to form these people because you're set in your ways, right? Yeah. And sometimes, too, it's a little bit harder to marry when you're older because you're kind of set in your ways, right? There's challenges around that. So this willingness to be changed. So this is the beauty of salvation. God does not save us by pulling us out of the disorder, okay, into some perfect bubble and perfection. God meets us and starts exactly where we are at in the midst of our disorder, even in the midst of our dysfunction, to lead us out of that. And let the disorder be a means to being what? Starting afresh with Christ and willing to be led, surprised, and changed. As part of the preparation for this year of the family, the bishops of the United States and the World Meeting of Families, which is going to be in Philadelphia in September, they have composed a prayer for families, and so I'm going to offer that prayer and blessing over everyone this morning. God and Father of us all, and Jesus, your Son and Savior, you have made us your sons and daughters in the family of the church. May your grace and love help our families in every part of the world be united to one another in fidelity to the gospel. May the example of the Holy Family, with the aid of your Holy Spirit, guide all families, especially those most troubled, to be homes of communion and prayer, and to always seek your truth and live in your love. Through Christ our Lord. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, pray for us.